In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For Jesus baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Men of Galilee, why do you stand staring up into the heavens? You know, I'm reminded of how much joy I have when our daughters come to visit us. We don't see them near enough, and they come, yet they come when they can. You know, they're busy in their lives, and they're professionals, and our oldest daughter, Jamie, has now her two sons, and it's just an amazing joy when they come to visit us, and Henry and Lucas, our grandsons, they come, and you know, when they all hit the house, it's life is different, you know. it's jump started 100 times, and but it's such a joy. Grandpa loves to have Henry sitting beside me when I'm making my morning espresso, for example. Henry wants to learn how to do that, and he gets real excited about it, and he sits on the stool next to me. And we're awoken in the morning to the sound of them playing and watching TV and screaming and crying, and you know, all of those wonderful things that they bring into our house. And then Sabrina, our youngest daughter, she comes, and with her warm hugs — they both have warm hugs — but she comes, and we get an opportunity to sit and visit, and she tells me about the latest, you know, folks that she's been caring for in her medical practice, and just about life, and all of the animals on her farm, and you know, all of those things. It's just an utter joy to have them. And then it seems like the time just, it's gone, you know, they're here, and then it's time to take them to the airport. And so I find myself, you know, I take them to the airport and kiss them goodbye and hug them and say, "Oh, it was so good to see you." And then it's like I watch them take off, and I know I won't see them for another few months, maybe 6 months. We find ourselves in the midst of life and in relationships when people come into our lives and then it's time to leave. It's time for them to go back to their life. It's not only with family and friends that come to visit us, but it's also in the season of life that those we love someday will leave us and leave this world. And we're so rich and so blessed to have them with us, and then it's sad to see them go. Today on Ascension Sunday, we hear again how Jesus leaves. He leaves his friends and his followers. He leaves them behind. And he ascends into heaven to be with God again. And the disciples, I know that they struggled with that. We're told that in Scripture. Even this morning's Scripture. Why are you standing looking into the sky? It's like life all of a sudden can come to an end. But Jesus knows, and God knows, that it's time for the disciples to sail on their own, to carry on the mission that Jesus has sometimes painstakingly guided them and mentored them and taught them and encouraged them and sometimes lit a fire underneath them, you know. We must muster up the courage to carry on like the disciples. When our daughters leave and I get over that initial saying goodbye and realizing they're not going to be with us for a length of time, I find myself getting back into my mission, my life, our life together at home and the church and all the things that are a part of our life. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than mustering up the courage to do what we need to do. I think there are mornings when I get up that initially the first word I say is, ugh. It's a nonverbal word, you know. I don't have to say a word, I just, ugh. And if Sandy's awake, she might say, are you all right? And I say, yeah. And then I stand up and my feet hurt, but, you know. It requires more. I mean, we can muster up the courage and we can live our lives. And last week we were talking about the importance of staying connected with something greater than ourselves and something greater than what's in the world. I love the phrase that's used oftentimes in the Unity Church. He that is within me is greater than he that is within the world. We need that connection, and Jesus knows this. God knows this, and Jesus knows that it's time for him to leave and for the disciples to sail, to begin to live out this mission in new and exciting ways, and he also knows that they need something more. And so we heard it in the Scripture. Wait. Wait for what? Wait for the Spirit, for the promised Spirit. We sometimes wait in the wrong way, or we wait for something just to come, and we have to be actively waiting, anticipating something coming in order for God to move into our life, or the Spirit to guide us. Jesus knows that the disciples will will miss him. He already knows because he's seen them after he returns from the resurrection, and he finds them fishing. And you may remember that text where Peter says to his friends, and I like to think of it as him saying it in a grieving sort of way. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know best. I'm going fishing. And you may remember the disciples, several of them say, I'm going with you. And so there they go. They go back fishing. And that's where Jesus finds them. And he invites them to come to the shore. He reminds them, even in their fishing, that they have a mission to catch fish. And he shows them, cast over on this side of the boat, where they have a net that's so loaded that they're afraid it will tear. So Jesus says, wait for the promised Spirit. It's easy for us, it's easier for us and for me to take the easy road when I know that which is ahead over this way is challenging and rough, and it's going to require more out of me. I'm more inclined to go this way, where it's a nice paved pathway. I used to have a hunting dog. It was a Irish setter. My mother took more care of it than I did, but this Irish setter was supposed to be a hunting dog, you know, a retriever. Go out and get the bird or whatever and go ahead and you know, out into the weeds, out into the field and chase out the pheasants so that I could shoot them, you know, and then bring something home, a trophy. But the dog would walk behind me. You know, I'm looking, where are you? Go out into the field or she would just walk down the pathway. You know, and not go out into where the pheasants were. We're called to carry on what Jesus was doing. The disciples were called to go forward, and Jesus knew they needed to wait for the Spirit because the Spirit would make them strong, keep them connected with God's mission. I need a lot of help with that. That is with following or fulfilling God's mission. Anybody else need help with that? I need a lot of help with that. And I remember that I've never been a person with good directions. You know, I would get in the car, I would get lost within, you know, a 5-mile radius of If I got into unfamiliar territory or if I'm in a building, you get me walking around in there a little bit and I have no clue which way is east, west, or north or south. And thankfully, somebody created a GPS system. You know, anybody else use that? The GPS system. I can't even ride with someone unless I'm intentionally... If they're driving and we're going somewhere I haven't been before, I have to mentally look and say, okay, we turned here, we turned over there, we took this road. Otherwise, we would get there and I could never get back there again if I didn't know where it was without a GPS system. But thankfully, someone created the GPS system, the global positioning system. GPS. Someone or something up high can see down everything that's going on and tell me which way, how to get to where I need to go. God is not a GPS system, but I'd like to think of God as a spiritual positioning system. That when I find myself deviating off because this pathway seems easier or this person is not somebody I want to take the time to try to share the love that has been shared with me, that transformed my life, that God can direct me back right in front of that person, right in the presence of that individual that's hurting, that's broken, that keeps trying, that is hoping that someone will intervene, someone will come and offer a word that will help them to know that they are alive, that they are valuable, that they are a gift. Does that sound good to you? It sure does to me. Because when I find myself feeling lost, and when I think about the times I've been lost, and then I remember that someone was guided by that spiritual guidance system and plopped in front of me and said, "How are you? You know that somebody cares about you." Or just gave me something good to do to get my mind off the struggles that are bringing me down. That's a good thing. And that's the mission of Jesus. Because remember, Jesus migrated to, went to, knew where the people were that most needed God. And that's what we're called to do. In the midst of living out our life, in the midst of all the wonderful things that can happen in life, kids coming to visit, grandchildren, friendships, love relationships, quality opportunities to give of ourselves, all of that is all good stuff. But when we top it off with that spirit of love and grace, wow. I think that's what Jesus was suggesting, that we could have abundant life, abundance in life. Do you want to be a part of the spiritual guidance system? If you do say yes, then just say, "God, come and help me. Guide me with your spirit." Amen.